Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Dr. Jim Bradford. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
I'd like you to remain standing just for a moment as we read God's Word. Last Sunday morning, we began a Sunday morning series out of the Old Testament book of Exodus. It's actually the second book in the Bible. The first book's Genesis and then Exodus. And Exodus really is the Jesus story of the Old Testament. And it's a story about moving forward, leaving what has entrapped us and enslaved us. In other words, it's a story about deliverance. And it's a story about God moving us forward towards what He has for us, towards the promise. That would be destiny. So this is everything Jesus does embody, and we're going to talk about seasons today and how God weaves seasons together in our lives as He moves us forward. So we're now going to look at Exodus 2. Next Sunday, we'll immerse ourselves in Exodus 3 and 4. But today, Exodus chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. It's the story of the birth of Moses, the deliverer. Now a man from the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. Now they are, of course, in Egypt. The Hebrew people have been enslaved now for 400 years, but they're growing quickly. And so Pharaoh is having all the newborn males executed. So to hide Moses, they put him afloat in the Nile River. And his sister, Moses' sister, stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank, and she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. And she opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "Well, this is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. And then verse 7, then Moses' sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" And guess who that would be? His mom. "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother, Moses' mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will come and pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him, and when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." And so the story of deliverance begins. Will you agree with me that we welcome the heart-shaping work of God's Spirit through His Word this morning? Amen. You may be seated. Okay, three names, three seasons, and then a question for you. What season are you in right now in your life? One of the wonderful things about Moses' life is that he has three distinct seasons in which God prepares him and uses him. And each one of those seasons is 40 years long. Now, when I turned 40, I was pastoring in Southern California at a wonderful church, much like this one. And I decided, approaching my 40th birthday, that I'd do a Bible study, a series of sermons on the number 40 in the Bible. And you find it a lot of people. You find 40 days, you find 40 weeks, you find 40 years. And, you know, back then I thought I was feeding the flock. Now I think it was just emotional therapy. But I did this really fun series on 40 and found out that number 40 kind of is a full circle number symbolically in the Bible. It's like a whole sort of season, you could say, of purpose comes full circle. Moses has three 40-year seasons in his life, and each is associated with a name in the Bible. So I'd like three people to come up and help me. Carter T., can you come up and stand right here? Carter T's Pastor Carter's son. And Pastor Don, could you come and stand right here in the middle? That'd be perfect. Pastor Steve here? Yeah, Pastor Steve, why don't you come up? I want you to stand right here, if you would. Now, these three guys will represent three names that are part of the three seasons in Moses' life. First of all, I'd like to introduce to you Moses. Everybody say, hi, Moses.
Hi, Moses.
Yeah. Moses grew up in Egypt in the first 40 years of his life. He would have grown up in wealth, among wealth. Is your daddy wealthy? I don't know. Anyway, Moses grew up in a wealthy place. And Moses, however, we just read how supernaturally his life was spared, and he even got into that situation. It was quite when his mother and father looked at him, said, this is no ordinary child. They sensed destiny on his life. And so Moses is like the destiny name. Moses means to be drawn out, as Pharaoh's daughter drew him out of the waters of the Nile. So that's what destiny is all about. It's like we're drawn out of the stream of human history, and we're used in God's purposes for reasons bigger than our own purposes. And so Moses is the destiny name. And Moses was exactly this age, and younger and older. In fact, he stayed in Egypt till he was 40 years old. After that, he spent the next 40 years of his life in the desert of Midian. This was not fun. He took things into his own hands at 40 years old, got in trouble with the Egyptians, and he had to flee, Moses, into Midian. And there he has his first son, in the desert of Midian, where he has been a shepherd. Now, Egyptians hated shepherds. So can you imagine, all you knew were the prejudices of the culture that you grew up in for your first 40 years of life. And now, what he had learned to hate, he had to be. He had to be a shepherd. So he's not happy. And he has his firstborn son, and he names him Gershom. Everybody say, hi, Gershom. There's nothing personal.
Thank you.
But Gershom means I'm an alien here. I don't belong. Can you imagine naming your boy Gershom? Mamas, don't name your baby Gershom. Don't. Can you? Every time they were playing catch, right? Every time Dad Moses say, "Hey Gershom, go get the ball," he'd be saying, "Hey, I don't belong here. Go get the ball." It was like he has his firstborn son in Midian in the desert as a shepherd, and he just sort of downloads his midlife crisis and downloads his culture shock on his little boy, and he named him Gershom. Gershom's the name of this that is associated to us, and it's there in Exodus chapter 2, I believe it's verse 22. It says, named him Gershom, named him I don't belong here. Wow. But he has a second son that has a very different kind of name. Everybody say, hi, Eleazar. Because we know that now 40 years in Egypt growing up, 40 years in the desert shepherding. Now at 80 years old, this ought to give all of us hope. At 80 years old, he's ready for the real purpose he was born. That's to be a deliverer. And he has another son. And his name's Eleazar. And in Exodus chapter 18, verse 4, Eleazar, his name is interpreted for us. It literally means, God has been my helper. Because this would be the name that would represent not the season of his growing up formation, not the season of losing everything in Midian, but now the truly shocking surprise. We're told in the Bible that when Moses was 40 years old, he was mighty in speech and authority. By the time he finishes his Gershom series, 40 years in the desert, it tells us that Moses was a stutterer, and he's 80 years old. All his dreams have been shattered. They've all been long buried. And shock of all shocks, at 80 years old, God recruits him to be a deliverer, and he would live to see that the Lord indeed would be his helper, Eleazar. Now, I love what one biblical scholar said. In Egypt, Moses got his bachelor's degree in public administration. In Midian, he got his master's degree in desert survival. Now at 80 years old, he had had all the preparation he needed to truly fulfill his life mission. This is exactly what God does in our lives. He weaves seasons together. In fact, you read leader studies, whether the military study leaders, business leaders, ministry leaders, governmental leaders, you will find that they tend to follow these same patterns in general. There's that initial season of basic sovereign foundations in our life, the family we grew up, who the influences that shaped us, and then life skills and developing our career and a vocation and figuring out what you're good at. And you're sort of in this Moses season preoccupied with what you do. But something we call this a midlife crisis indeed. Something happens in all of us once we hit our mid-30s to mid-40s. And suddenly it's not just what we do that becomes, like, what do I do is not the most important question. It's who am I? You're trying to figure yourself out and all of these things. And relationships become more important to you. And just doing things gets boring. But who are you? And you start to wrestle with these kind of things. That certainly was a crisis in Moses' life, doing what he had been bred to hate doing, being a shepherd, losing all his confidence, ending up a stutterer, and thinking that there was no future to his life. But our sovereign and mighty God, writers will say, as God shapes leaders' lives, he has a way of helping all these previous seasons not to waste any one of them. I don't believe God wastes one season in our lives. But with time, I mean, you get north of 30 years old and you start seeing already, God starts bringing certain relationships, certain seasons, certain experiences full circle. And so leadership studiers sometimes call this the convergence period of life, where all the previous seasons converge for the real purpose you were born. And this is an awesome thing, and this is a sovereign thing. Let's give it up to these guys for their help. So the question, there's three names, three seasons. So the question, what season are you in right now in your life? And my apologies, but that's a trick question. Because the longer I've lived and the more I study the Word, the more I realize I don't think any of us know for sure when we're actually in the middle of that season. I don't think we really know for sure till later when we can look back on that season. But here are two things that I know for sure about every season in our lives. Number one, God always has a strategy for our seasons. There's always a strategy to our seasons in life. Not a season is wasted. Whether these are good seasons or not good seasons, not one season is wasted. And I think there is one strategy that trumps all other strategies. I think this is always God's strategy for our lives. And what tips me off from Moses' life is how long these seasons were. I mean, you can get your bachelor's degree by the time you're 22, 23 years old, right? But he's there 40 years. And Midian, I mean, if you're going to learn desert survival, if you haven't learned it in 4 months, I mean, you're just not there anymore, right? Let alone 4 decades. But there he is in Midian. I mean, not for 4 months. I mean, you kind of figure out how to survive after 4 months, right? But it was 10 years, and then it was 15 years, and then it was 23 years, and then it was 32 years, and 38 years, and there's still 2 more years to go. I mean, these were long, long seasons. We think, okay, God, I get it already, whatever you're trying to do in my life. But here's what I think is God's strategy always. And I say it in 3 words. This has kind of become a very profound life ethic for me personally. You've heard me talk about it before. It's always deep before wide. You know what men and women of God throughout history have said. If you will take care of the depth of your life, God will take care of the breadth of your influence. And I just believe that God is always wanting to take us deeper before wider, even though everything inside me wants to start with managing the breadth of my influence. And God says, no, I don't want you shallow and wide. I want you deep and narrow first. And then you let me take care of the breadth of your influence. I believe every great leader is prepared in secret. It's doing the homework. I want to tell you, if you're in high school, if you're in middle school, if you're in college, I got bad news for you. The homework never stops. It's just like you know, the great leader has said, you know, it's the things you do every day that eventually show. These are the things. God is always calling us to go deeper in Him. Go deep before you go wide. And here's how Peter put it, one of Jesus' closest followers, in 2 Peter 3. He said, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to grow in grace. He's not saying for the first 15 years of your life, grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Then you'll pretty much have it down. I want to tell you, you may be 90 years old, but I still think God wants to take you deeper. And if you will take care of depth in your life, who knows what God could still do with influence in your life. It certainly was true of Moses at 80 years old. And you grow in grace. You grow in what it is just to be loved unconditionally and forgiven and have a new identity in Christ and be full of the Spirit. You just grow in what it means to live in the grace and abundance of the Lord and in the knowledge of Jesus Himself, because God calls us to fellowship with Jesus before He calls us to any vocation, before He calls us to any part of the world, before He calls us to any relationship. I love what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. God has called us into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ. That's our first calling. And to go deep in Him, to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. You see, I think God's strategy for every season is that He's looking for ways to reintroduce Himself to us. Every season becomes a stage to take us deeper, where God reveals Himself in a new way, where grace becomes richer and deeper now, and where we just know Jesus better in the good seasons and the bad seasons. So, if there is a strategy every season, let me first of all encourage you to let these seasons shape you. I put that right there in your notes. Let every season shape you. Some of us, because some seasons are better than others, if you think you're in a bad season right now, first of all, you don't know for sure. I know people have been through some horrible things, and years later they look back at the strategic place that season filled in their life. And they would say, I would never trade that for anything. But what you have to do is we just don't fight whatever season we're in right now. And I know some of you may not have chosen the season you're in right now. But don't fight it, let it shape you. Guess which season you probably don't want to be in of those three? Moses, Gershom, or Eleazar, which one? Gershom. Who wants to be Gershom? But you realize that was the safest season, actually. At the end of the Moses season, when he was 40 years old, Moses took things into his own hands and got in trouble. At the end of the Eleazar season after 40 years, Moses again took things into his own hand and got in trouble. You know, the only season where Moses never messed up when God had him in the desert. It's an amazing thing what God can shape in you when He does this. Beeson and Hunsinger wrote a book a number of years ago called The Hidden Price of Greatness. I'm going to put a little bit of an extended quote on the screen for you. It says, what we may not realize is how large a collection of little disappointments we're accumulating, things we don't want to deal with, attitudes we think we shouldn't have, doubts about the goodness of God. The Lord doesn't want us weighed down with all of that. So He allows the heat to be turned up in life's pressure cooker. He carefully watches the gauge, knowing exactly how much we can bear. But as the pot boils in our life, as God turns the heat up in some seasons in our lives, some poisonous gases start to bubble up. Reeling from the foul odor that permeates our lives, we cry, where did all this come from? Anybody been there? Sometimes we discover we've been building a temple to God on a toxic waste dump of unresolved hurt. Then the Holy Spirit makes himself known to us, as the refining fire rather than as the gentle dove. He burns away the stench of rebellion, unforgiveness, pride, whatever's polluting our lives. He cauterizes the wound amid our screams. And finally, he pours the oil of healing and restores our joy. God has a strategy for every season of our life, no matter how miserable it will be. It's to take us deeper and make us purer and help us to love him more fully in every season. So let every season shape you, and never, when it comes to God's strategy for our seasons, I want to also encourage you, never stop moving forward. Never stop moving forward. You see, any given season in our lives, it's supposed to shape us, but it's not supposed to trap us. And I felt this word forward for us more than any other word this year. As some of you have been corresponding with me since last weekend, you'll be saying, oh, my friend went to another church and the pastor said the same thing. It's like God's saying this to everybody, it seems. But he's wanting us to dig in, not to fret that the government's half shut down, not to fret that I can't stand myself because God's revealing so many things in me and I don't know what this season's about and I just don't feel spiritual like I used to feel spiritual. God is just saying, I have forward gear for you. And don't let the disappointments, the failures, the relational hurts of past seasons trap you instead of shaping you. Seasons are not supposed to trap us, they're supposed to shape us. And if we're going to move forward, some of you are going to have to really let go of some things that marked former seasons. If they're really all going to come full circle and you're going to keep moving forward, you just cannot afford to be stuck. You got to let go of the addictions. You got to let go of what some people have done to you in other seasons. You got to let go that you just totally messed up at one point in your life. And you even think half the seasons are your fault. But I want to tell you, you got to let them go. You got to be shaped, learn what you can from every one of those seasons, and then keep moving forward. Keep putting one step in front of the other. I've had days I've gotten up, I have no clue what my future holds. But God just says, you obey me with what I put in your hand today. Stop worrying about tomorrow. Just keep putting one foot in front of another. And God has this amazing way of beginning to open new seasons for us. Because there's not only a strategy to all our seasons, but I believe there's a sovereignty to our seasons. I believe there's a sovereign God who's writing the story in ways that you could never write it. Believe me, when Moses was in Egypt, Midian was not exactly in his 5-year plan, let alone his 50-year plan. I'm sure God just laughs at our 5-year plans and our 50-year plans. I want to tell you, there's a God who's sovereign. My favorite verse describing God is actually Psalm 115, verse 3. I put it in your notes. It said, our God's in the heavens and he does whatever he wants. Sometimes because we put so much stress on our responsibility, we have a low view of God's sovereignty. But I love that. He's in the heavens, so you can't contain him. And he does whatever he wants, so you can't control him. I mean, what do you do with a God who's alive and loose? And he's claimed you as his own. And he's saying, if you'll let the season shape you, and if you'll not stop putting one foot in front of another, I want to know I'm sovereignly shaping the seasons for you. You may not choose the next season on your own. I mean, I'm sure by the end of Midian, Moses wouldn't have chosen being a great leader. He lost all his confidence. That's irrelevant to God. You keep putting one step in front of another. You keep trusting him. And I want to tell you, he is sovereignly weaving our lives together. I used to lie awake at night saying, oh God, I miss your will. Whatever. You know, there's nothing more powerful than getting up every day and saying, Lord, I'm in your hands. I'm totally surrendered to you more than how I can be committed. I'm just flat out surrendered to you. I want your way above my way. And then trust him. Yeah. Because he knows how to take that seriously. When you don't need to even know what the next step is. Just in the long term, just do what he's telling you every day and let God sovereignly shape seasons until eventually he starts bringing everything full circle and he's getting you ready for the reason you were born. All of these things come together to really shape our lives because God is sovereignly writing the script. He knows where he needs to get us. You've been drawn out of the stream of history. We are his living church, drawn out of the culture, drawn out of the stream of world history. We are here for a reason, as you are personally. And God has sovereign intention in where you are right now. And it's very easy to say, where I am right now is totally my fault. But this is the beauty of God's sovereignty. You can't back him in a corner. You can't mess him up. You can't leave him without options. It's not like the mighty sovereign God who can do what he wants, when he wants, however he wants it, is sitting up there scratching his cosmic head and saying, oh, Bradford blew it so badly, I have no clue what to do now. Look, I'm not that talented to mess God up to that degree. I mean, I just don't have it. He's sovereign. That means he even steps in the midst of our failures, just like he did with Moses as he failed at the end of his first 40 years. He steps into our failures, and he said, nothing is beyond my recreating, my realigning sovereign power. I can even take your mistakes. Not that you ought to be careless with your life, but the fact is we've all had mistakes, we've all failed, but God can even take the unfortunate choices in our life. It's never too late because he's sovereign. It's never too late for him to still work something of his beauty out in that and take us on to something else. So this is it. So I just want to remind you that God's always preparing you for something because he's sovereign. He just knows whatever season you're in, your fault or not. He just knows. He just knows what he's doing. Isn't that amazing? God actually knows what he's doing. Oh my. And he's always doing something. So that's why I just believe he's always preparing us for something. You know, I lived with that for the first part of my life. You know, I was in middle school. I was just looking forward to getting to high school. I just knew God was doing it, you know. And then I remember sitting in my first year of high school and counting the number of years I still had. High school seemed eternal, like wouldn't end. But I didn't know God was preparing me for something. I went to college. I really tried hard to be an engineer, but I knew God was preparing me something. I remember my first years in full-time ministry. Remember, I knew I was ministering to people, but I constantly lived with this sense, God's preparing me for something. God's always preparing you for the next season. When you're in your 20s, he's preparing you to be in your 30s. Listen, if you're in your 30s, I know this is awfully complex and profound, but he's preparing you to be in your 40s. And if you're in your 40s, he's preparing you to be in your 50s, believe it or not. And if you're in your 50s, you're not over the hill. I rebuke that lie. He's getting you ready for your 60s. Glory to God. And if you're in your 60s, he's getting you ready to be in your 70s, maybe. It gets iffy up there. And if you're 70s, glory to God. You may be just starting your life mission because he's getting you ready like Moses to be in your 80s. And if you're in your 80s, he's getting you ready to be in your 90s. And if you're in your 90s, what can I say? He's probably getting you ready for eternity, just to be dead honest with you. But if you ever read Paul Bilheimer's book, Destined for the Throne, he said, yes, even, I mean, I have people in the 90s say, Pastor, I can't get around much. I'm sorry. I can't do much ministry. I just pray. I say, thank God, don't stop. I mean, I wish I had 10 million more of you. But Paul Bilheimer in Destined for the Throne, he said, even that's why we pray. And why we minister and why we serve. Because in eternity, we're going to rule and reign with Christ forever. And so the very act of just praying is practice, he says, for eternity. I want to tell you, God's getting us ready for whatever is next. He's always doing something. He's always getting us ready. And that's why I've just learned, the more I've come to appreciate God's sovereignty, the more I've tried to let the pressure be on God and just relax. You know, he's always preparing us for something. And so God's sovereignty means that God handles the pressure while we relax. And we start with that relationship with Jesus Christ, died for us. In fact, Jesus, didn't he? He walked that journey. He grew up in our world and started his public ministry, just like Moses grew up in Egypt and started his public leadership. And then he suffered and he died, just like everything sort of died inside of Moses in Midian. And then resurrection. And he's still building our church, his church. And he died for you and for me so that sovereign journey could start in our lives. I'd like the worship team to come. I'd like you to stand with me.